This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Jill and Tex with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And we have just listened to Yellow by Coldplay. Tex, how are you?
I'm really good tonight, actually. It's been a lovely day, though a cold day. And we're into the season of autumn. My tree outside my dining room window, which has been green all summer, and all of autumn so far, is finally turning. And I'm pretty certain it's going to turn a gorgeous russet red very soon.
That's delightful. Mm.
That was lovely, the first song.
It's a gentle little number, yep, isn't it? Just to ease us in.
What's on the show tonight?
Well, I'm glad that you've asked, Tex, because we will be looking firstly at a few newsy items, mm-hmm, as we do here on Well, 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 and then we will be having a chat with David Menadue on the topic of growing older with HIV, and then we will be wrapping up the show by looking at a few tidbits around what's happening around town. But as always, Tex, we do like to hear from people who are listening, and how might they let us know that they're listening?
Tonight you've got two options. You could send us an SMS, which is 0427 Joy 949, or perhaps you might have your fingers hovering over the keyboard. You could send us an email on air at joy.org.au. And of course, an email wherever you're listening in the world. It's great to hear from people listening all around the globe. So if you're listening in Nunawading or Namibia, maybe wherever you're listening, we want to hear from you.
We do. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Hi, we're the Tantanas.
Keep listening to
Joy 94.9.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Our first newsy item is a study that was found in the Clinical Infectious Diseases edition, and it basically states that the majority of patients who are newly diagnosed with HIV in North America and have a CD4 cell count that is low enough to warrant the immediate initiation of antiretroviral therapy.
Quite interesting, because until November 2009, so November last year, the USA HIV treatment guidelines recommended that a patient should start taking antiretroviral drugs when their CD4 cell count is around 350. However, in the study that they did, 54% of the patients had a CD4 cell count below this level.
It's interesting because in November 2009, guidelines were issued that recommended treatment for everyone with a CD4 cell count below 500, and also proposed that people with CD4 counts over 500 should also consider starting treatment.
Which is really, it's almost a double Dutch type thing. It's saying you must start treatment, or they're recommending that people start treatment if it's below 500, but then going in the same sentence to say that if it's over 500, you should consider starting treatment anyway.
Exactly. For those people who weren't listening a few weeks ago, but Jason and I talked about this because in San Francisco, I believe it was, there was a study or a report there that was from a study that said regardless of what your CD4 cell count was, you should go on treatment immediately. So basically, if you're diagnosed to be HIV positive, you should start treatment.
It's estimated that a fifth of HIV infections in the United States of America are actually undiagnosed, and that in Canada, large numbers of people in groups with a high risk of HIV have never had a HIV test. Quite interesting data, you know, quite a really high percentage of people. You know, large numbers of people, it doesn't actually give a percentage, but large numbers of people in Canada have actually never had a HIV test.
Which is something that the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre were constantly urging people. If you're having regular sex, go and get tested.
That's right. Regular casual sex.
Regular casual sex.
If you're, it's sex within your primary relationship and you've done the old talk, test, test, trust, and dispense with condoms within the primary relationship because you've done the testing, and then 3 months later being tested again and decided to dispense with condoms within your relationship if you've both tested HIV negative, it's only then that when you're playing around outside the relationship, if you have an open relationship, is where condoms need to come into play.
Absolutely.
And as we do say, you don't know until you know. and you don't know until you've actually gone to have an STI test, a sexually transmitted infection test, including the test for HIV. Because apart from Hep C and HIV, of which there are treatment drugs, everything else tends to have a lotion or a potion or an injection or a pill, which is going to get rid of it or suppress it in the body, so it's not going to be a problem when you're next having sex.
Food for thought with that one. And in further news, a story that's come out of Beijing.
Yes. Oh, this is really interesting but disturbing.
A founder of a prominent AIDS activist group in Beijing has left China for the United States with his family because of increasing pressure from the government, he and his supporters said Monday. So he's now moved to Philadelphia, him and his wife and four-year-old daughter. And in recent months, the group has come under increasing scrutiny from tax officials and even the fire department.
And that sounds really strange when you're thinking about a HIV group worrying about the tax officials and the fire department. In reading further on and doing some more reading today, I found out that it's one of the ways that if the government in China wants to shut something down, they send in the tax officials. They send in the fire department to make sure that everything's being done according to the book. And if they find something wrong, they try to close down. And of course, being, you know, in the government and in control, they can easily close down any agency that they don't like the sound of.
What I think is of further interest, though, is, again, Jason and I talked about the fact that, well, you and I talked about the fact that Robert Desai had actually not allowed to, he didn't get a visa from memory to go into China.
And that was for a writer's festival.
For a writer's festival. And then a couple of weeks ago, I think it was actually April the 28th, China actually lifted their ban on allowing HIV positive people to go into their country, and that was a couple of days before the Shanghai Expo. So what I find interesting is they've, on paper, they're looking like they're doing really well and going, well, we're being really open to people who are HIV positive and allowing them to come in. And then you have a piece of news like this that obviously flies in the face of one hand doing something and the other doing something else, which is quite disturbing, I think.
It was interesting, of course, that they're doing this big expo, you know, a lot of countries in the world fight, just like for the Olympics, they fight to get the opportunity to open up and have an expo, a world expo, and an expo goes for about 10 months, so it's not as if it's a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
They're expecting millions of people to come into China for this and to capitalise on it, perhaps. They're removing this ban just in time for the start of the world expo. Let's hope the ban stays lifted and doesn't come crashing down when, you know, the next thing that upsets the government upsets them.
Well, that's a really good point, Tex. It'll be interesting to see if that does actually come back. I would suggest that they'd have to keep it lifted. I couldn't imagine that they'd then reinforce it.
Of course, we are talking about the People's Republic of China, which, whilst it is opening up to the West, at the same time we can read stories about this prominent AIDS activist who's felt that he must leave the country because of the suppression of the work of the organisation and sending in the officials to get the organisation shut down.
Disturbing stuff.
Hard stuff.
And we will be right back.
Here on Well, 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 on Joy 94.9.
The Geelong Lesbian Group provides a friendly environment where women can make friends and share experiences with other lesbians in the Geelong and surrounding region. For more details on upcoming social activities and information on the group, visit glg.org.au.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Jill and Tex. And that was Post Blue by Placebo, which I had some qualms about playing because I know it's got some swearing and drug references, that I was assured by you, wasn't I, Tex?
That's right.
Fine.
Because often enough here on Joy, we say, both at Joy and the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, that whilst we don't condone the use of recreational or illegal drugs, we acknowledge that people use them. And if people are going to use them, we may as well be telling them how to use them safely. So regularly on the show, we will talk, especially before dance parties and long weekends, we'll talk about recreational drug use and the need to use them safely.
Exactly.
It was a gorgeous song.
Oh, glad you liked
Post it. Post Blue. Blue. I see a bit of a theme. We had yellow, we've had post blue. Are there any more colours?
I think the hues finish there, actually.
Oh, okay.
Joining us this evening is David Menadue, who is a well-known individual within the GLBTIQ community and has been a keen advocate for people living with HIV for many years. David, it is a pleasure to have you in the studio. In formulating these questions for this evening's show, David, I must admit I was a bit overwhelmed with the amount of work that you have done in the field of HIV. Maybe if you could start with a bit about your own history for those who don't know who you are and what your involvement in the HIV positive, specifically, sector is.
It goes back to 1988. I've been positive since 84, but in 88 I really felt the need to sort of come out as a positive man, and I thought I needed an organisation behind me to support me in doing that. And there was a real need for people with HIV to have a media presence, because a lot of people were talking about us rather than actually hearing the voices of people with HIV. So I was part of setting up People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, in a little St Martin's Theatre in South Yarra. We all got together one frosty July afternoon, and enough people decided that we could do it. And it was a very stigmatised time to actually admit you had HIV. There was still a lot of hysteria around. We just had the, the Grim Reaper ads, bowling balls at little girls in bowling alleys, and people were a bit scared about HIV. And so to come out as a person with it was a big deal. But with the support of peers around you, I felt a lot stronger in doing that. So, and then I helped set up the national organisation for the same reasons, really, to get a national presence for people with HIV.
It's very brave.
There's heaps more, David. There is heaps more. Oh, You've written a book, been on loads of panels, which have made a great difference to the lives of people living with HIV, including yourself, of course, but the vast swarm of people living with HIV, as there are around the country. And I believe people listening to you talking at various times will have taken messages back to various places around the world as well. But, David, we've asked you in this evening to discuss one particular aspect of HIV, and that's growing older with the virus.
Oh, me, Tex?
I know you're the Peter Pan of the world, but there
I wish.
Now, recent research demonstrates that although people are living longer with HIV than they were, say, 10 years ago, there can be other physical health concerns associated with this. Can you explain, what they might be?
Well, Tex, way back in the 90s when, I spent a lot of time in hospital, it was a very medicalised condition, and I think we just celebrated in 96 when the pills came along, what's called the highly active antiviral treatment, or HART, because it made a huge difference to us. So people weren't spending so long in hospital. We were getting back on our legs, getting back to work. It was great. But then a couple of years down the track, we started to realise some of these drugs were toxic, having a bit of effect on cholesterol, our triglycerides, and some of us were developing diabetes, and it was a bit of a complication. So it was a little bit of a downer, but blessing be that we all were living, and now we know that we may live relatively normal lives. I don't know about people like myself that had that whole period without treatments, but people now diagnosed now will probably have relatively normal lives in terms of longevity. But what I'm sort of here to talk about tonight is really the need for people to monitor themselves, particularly as they get into their 50s and 60s for ageing illnesses, because we're now starting to realise from the research that HIV is still doing damage to people from day one. It's a real lesson for people to learn who think treatments have got everything under control. I mean, HIV still operates at low level, even in people who have undetectable viral load. And this means that it's caused what's called a chronic immune activation, or an inflammation that's working in your body, and obviously over time starts to do organ damage. I don't want to scare positive people out there, because I think ultimately this is a long-term thing. And some people will be more affected than others, So like with normal ageing, some people are more genetically predisposed to age earlier and to have all sorts of comorbidities that come from their family and so forth. So at the end of the day, people shouldn't be scared. All I'm saying is it's important, I think, particularly once you get into your 50s with HIV, or you've lived a long time, maybe in your 40s, but you've had it for, say, 10, 15 years, to be being monitored for what we might call ageing comorbidities. Some of those things are obviously cardiovascular risk. We know to look at that anyway. But, some of the research is showing, for instance, that vascular systems in people who've had HIV for a long time, the stiffening of the blood vessels, which means that, we're more predisposed to have heart problems, sooner, like maybe 10 to 15 years sooner than the rest of the population. Osteoporosis, which is a bone fractures that, capacity for bones to fracture, we're probably 3 to 4 more times likely to have those things happen neurocognitive illness, something like 40% of positive people have low-level cognitive things. Just might be just little memory things, but that comes with ageing. You know, people say neurocognitive, you know, I'm going mad. No, it's just as you get older, the your neurocognitive capacity decreases, and people are saying, well, that's coming on a little bit sooner in some positive people. I don't want to depress people, mm-hmm. so I won't go on. But all I'm saying is that research is now coming out, and it really means that people need to be monitored, particularly when they start getting to 50, say. It might be, you know, we all have to have a neurocognitive screen once a year. We all need to maybe have a DEXA scan to see how our bones are going, you know, and just live healthy lives as much as we can. I mean, I think number one rule is stop smoking.
In terms of appropriate care for someone who is positive and demonstrating some of these health conditions that you've just mentioned, and obviously those conditions, like you say, they are usually seen in people who are sort of in their 70s or 80s, what are some of the issues that this could possibly bring up?
Apart from the monitoring one and the need for people to just be aware of it, it's clear that there are care implications. I mean, like it or not, people get into their sometimes 70s, but certainly 80s. Often people can't care for themselves. Whether you like it or not, you might have a stroke, you might have some other kind of physical or even mental incapacity. People need some level of either nursing care in the home, or maybe they need to go into a nursing home. I mean, it's not something people like to think about, but, you know, it's better to be prepared than not. And I think people with HIV, a lot of whom are gay men, of course, in Australia, worry about what will be provided for them in their old age. Now, if people are starting to get the ageing things happening earlier, we really need to advocate for people who are under 65 who may need both nursing home care but also access to aged care packages. At the moment, for you to get a nursing home package in your home from the Commonwealth Government, which is a great thing, you need to be over 65. And we're arguing that some people with HIV need it when they're 55. So there's some advocacy needs to happen with the government. And we're very lucky in a way because the sixth national strategy has just been released. It includes a commitment on the part of the federal government to look at HIV and ageing and what the implications are for service providers.
So well, that's promising.
Well, it is. And I'm hopeful that what it means is that the aged care sector will be more prepared for people with HIV to come in, you know, and treat them with the same dignity and equality that they would anyone else. Because I think, you know, I don't think the aged care sector has really had to deal with HIV or understands its transmission risks and so forth.
And, of course, when it has, because, of course, there are people living with HIV who have had to go into nursing homes, then it presents a whole new set of difficulties for the staff.
Well, we've got some people in Melbourne who are in that situation and we've managed to get them into nursing homes. It's involved a lot of training and sensitisation of the nursing staff, and we've been lucky to have some staff there who really have gone the extra yard for this person and said, well, really, we know they're no risk. You know, you can't catch it casually. But there's still another question about nursing homes that we all need to deal with, and this is why gay and lesbian specific ones would be great, and that's the culture. I mean, you can't really express your sexuality. You can't be out as a gay man. Or a lot of older people who've been interviewed for various reports say it's very hard to be out as a gay man or even to have a gay partner or even gay friends come and visit you. So some of that cultural change needs to happen as well.
Absolutely. David, look, we're just going to have a short break, but we would love to have you hang around in the studio with us and answer some more of our questions, if that's okay. You are on Well, Well, Well with Tex and Jill on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Senior Constable Gabrielle Tyack, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer at Melbourne West Police Station. Everyone has the right to feel safe and be free from violence. To increase your safety when in public places, stay alert, walk with purpose, and trust your instincts. Verbal harassment may come before an attack, so if you decide to answer back, be prepared, as it could make the situation worse. If trouble starts, yell to attract attention and create distance between yourself and the attacker. Victoria Police have a number of gay and lesbian liaison officers throughout the state. Let's work together to keep our community safe. Visit police.vic.gov.au or contact your nearest police station. In an emergency, always call 000.
Hello, my name is Renee Geyer, and I support Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Be there.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was I Can't Stay by The Killers. We are chatting with David Menadue on the subject of growing older with HIV. Now, David, whilst the epidemic has changed, obviously, over the years with improved medication and so forth, as we've mentioned, there is the other topic that could still have a profound impact on people who are HIV positive, and that is the topic of discrimination. David, have things really changed dramatically in all the time that the virus has really been around, or is there still a long way to go, do you think?
Jill, I think discrimination is still an issue, and I think it's probably not true that it may be more of an issue for people who are not part of the gay community, and I'll explain what I mean by that, in that it's much harder to be out in certain cultural groups, people from African countries, for instance, who, you know, may be positive. There are tight cultural groups. It's very hard to come out because there's still a stigma associated in the home country towards having HIV or even being gay, if they are gay. Many aren't. And the family takes on that same stigma, and I think that's very hard for those people to deal with. And, you know, in a society where HIV is not talked about a lot, and a lot of people think, oh, it's, you know, gay people or it's injecting drug users or whatever, it's not something that concerns me. When a positive man that's heterosexual comes out to a woman and says, you know, I have HIV, they freak. And that's the way it was for us in the 80s. And I'm not saying it's not the case here for gay men. I mean, there is some evidence in a recent report that was done on stigma amongst the gay community that the gay community has really not been terribly kind to each other in terms of HIV positive status in the last, you know, few years, possibly because HIV has now become a bit more invisible. I mean, people like myself were very visible because of the facial changes and the physical changes that happened to us, you know, in the 80s and 90s. But now that's not so. You can't really pick a HIV-positive person. So, on, you know, the advent of the internet and so forth has meant people are fairly unaccepting and say some pretty cruel things to others. And if you admit you're HIV-positive online, sometimes, not saying always, sometimes it can be quite useful for a HIV-positive person because the anonymity's there still. But if it's not, and you come out and, you know, you're fairly open about who you are and you say you're positive and someone says, well, you know, that would be like, you know, a poison chalice or, you know, you're unclean. How many times have I seen people on profiles say, are you clean? I say, well, look, I've had a shower this week, if that's what worries you. But that sort of behaviour is stigmatising and quite frankly wrong. And the gay community has learnt over the years to be much more accepting of HIV, but now, for various reasons, and I think it's often people who don't know other people with HIV. Now, they actually do. In many cases, they do, but those people have not disclosed because they're feeling less safe. Now, you know, so that's a difficulty, and that's why, you know, I helped set up PLWHA, and a whole group of us in the 90s wanted visibility so that the stigma would go away. And over time, that sort of activism and so forth dies away, as things do, and you then start losing, you know, people don't have to come out now. You don't have to say, I'm HIV positive to all but a few people, because it's not likely you're going to get sick. So you wouldn't have to tell. But, of course, the reality is, and everybody who's ever been in a relationship knows, you're going to have to tell a partner. Or you're going to have to tell your dentist. You're going to have to tell a doctor. And really, most people want the acceptance of their family around this issue. So disclosure is still a big issue. And it's only when people really come to terms with living with HIV and feel comfortable that, you know, they can go on and have happy lives.
David, you just mentioned coming out to a partner, to a doctor, to a dentist. Is there a best time to come out? In a relationship, you know, you've met someone, you're a positive man or woman, and you've met another person, another man or woman, and whatever your orientation, you're interested in them and they appear interested in you. Is there a best time, or is it something you just learn?
It's the 60 $64 million question. Nobody can answer that for any other person, really. You have to be confident enough to say to someone, I'm HIV positive. Anybody out there who, you know, goes to a bar on a Saturday night and tries to pick someone up, they know the difficulty and the fear of rejection. It's intense. You know, you add, I'm HIV positive into that negotiation in the first 5 minutes, you know, what's the risk the person's going to walk away? You know, the risk is very high anyway. You add that. So to say you should do it in the first 5 minutes is pretty difficult for most people, unless you're really out there and confident individual. But if you do it after the first night, or, you know, wait a few times and you slept with a person, and then, you know, they basically say, well, why didn't you tell me sooner? It's not an easy thing for anybody, I think, disclosure, but at the same time, you know, I've learnt that the people who really matter are the ones that accept you, and there's plenty of people in the gay community that don't care about HIV status. You just got to find them.
David, we need to hear some important announcements. Is it possible for you to hang around?
Sure.
This is Well, Well, Well with Jill and Tex here on Joy 94.9.
It's a bit rude.
It's very hot.
And it's damn sexy.
Hi, I'm Dean Beck.
And I'm James Findlay.
Join us for Hide and Seek every Thursday from 10 p.m.
It's where we explore sex, sexuality, and how it shapes our concept of self.
We have a lot of fun. And if you're not careful, you might just learn something along the way.
Hide and Seek, Thursdays from 10 p.m. on Joy 94.9.
Sponsored by Circuit Bar. 103 Smith Street, Fitzroy. Open Wednesdays to Sunday, 5 p.m. till late. Circuit.com.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be crazy to listen to anything else.
You're on Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I think we are talking with David Menadue. David, you recently contributed to a publication called Ahead of Time. Can you explain what your involvement was with the book and what the impetus for making the book in the first place was?
We were aware that HIV and ageing was an important issue, and we wanted people to sort of adjust their lives accordingly. And it's, you know, as I said before, psychosocial issues are just as important as the physical ones. And how you adjust to ageing, you know, whether you're HIV positive or not, is an issue. But we wanted to give people advice about how to prevent the onset of ageing, but also how to most protect your health. And I mean, as I said before, it is important to give up smoking because HIV positive people are more prone to get cancers. We're more prone to get various, heart attacks and so forth anyway. And I mean, it's not as if this publication is all about, you know, waving fingers at people. It's all about how to monitor your health and what are the things to look for. And I think it's a really good common sense guide to this issue. And I know it's something a lot of people don't want to deal with. And equally, though, I know there are people like myself out there who have experienced changes in their, you know, physically in the last 5-10 years, getting in your 50s. And they'll actually be reassured by a book like this because they'll say, look, what you're going through is actually quite normal for people with HIV. It might not be so normal for the rest of the population.
And the book goes through a series of chapters and looking at different issues about ageing.
Oh, absolutely.
And then at the back has a range of different resources and organisations that people can contact.
That's correct, yes. Look, it's very important, I think, that the older you get, like I was talking about gay men before, and this is a gay and lesbian radio station, so...
Yep.
I think that what happens when people get older is they have less sexual contact, they have less of the gay community contact, really. And that fear of isolation and losing their support networks, a lot of gay men have not got close families, is a really big deal. And it just means, I think it has health implications if they don't get support groups. And I do think HIV sector agencies need to provide for the older positive person to make sure that they're connected. And that they, you know, in Sydney, for instance, and I'm sure this is true in Melbourne too, the rents are so expensive closer to town that the only way people on a DSP can afford it if they're not in public housing is to go to the outer suburbs. And we all know that's not exactly always, you know, the most gay-friendly environment. And so
Yeah, it's not the most gay-friendly, but it's also not the most accessible environment as well.
Exactly.
I mean, if you think of the outer suburbs of Melbourne, inner suburbs, there are trains and trams and
buses.
That's
a good point, Tex.
As people get further and further out of town, buses might only run until 6 o'clock at night and may not run very often over the weekend, maybe an hour apart. And that's basically it. If you don't have a car and you're not able to transport yourself, you're stuck.
And I think the point is you don't have money to pay for a cab.
A taxi,
like your average 30-year-old with a reasonable disposable income may be able to do on a Saturday night. So your social life suffers as well. So I think these issues are important, and I think, you know, we need to try and support people who are older in all ways that we can. Peer support groups, and look, it might be walking groups, it might be whatever, but I do think the HIV agencies need to focus on it.
If people would like a copy of the resource, which is called Ahead of Time, they can contact Jill or anyone from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre on 9865 6700. That's 9865 6700. Alternatively, if you're listening interstate, you can contact your local AIDS council or people living with HIV AIDS organisation for a copy of the booklet. And I'm not certain, do you know if it's on the FAO website, David?
Yes.
All right. So if you go to the
NAPWA one.
Website, FAO, AFAO.org.au, that's AFAO.org.au, that's Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, and you would know the NAPWA website.
www.napwa.org.au.
So that's NAPWA.
Yeah, National Association of People with HIV and AIDS.
NAWPA.org.au.
David, thank you so much for coming into the studio this evening and sharing your story and some of these issues with us. I mean, for people who are listening, we realised that what David had to say was so interesting that we actually missed a whole piece of music that we were going to play because we just went, let's just keep talking. So it really has been an absolute delight. And, yeah, I mean, as you've said, it's a way to go yet, but things are looking up. And hopefully with the more research and more reports that come out, it will become obvious that funding has to be made to actually help this sector.
Look, I'm sorry if this sounded gloomy, but as I said before, we just need to be prepared.
Thanks, David.
Looking for a good time online? Check us out at joy.org.au.
That's right. Check us out whenever you need to. And, of course, you can listen online. And, Jill, we've had a couple of messages that have come in. We had one from Carlos, and I'm going to read this because it says, "Lovely Jill, have a fantastic time. We will miss you in the office." And that's signed Carlos. And, of course, that's in reference to the fact that after tonight you're finishing work for 5 weeks.
Well,
four and a bit weeks.
Four and a half.
And going to the United States of America on holiday. You're lucky
pig. And New Zealand.
And New Zealand as well.
Oh, I know.
Oh, look, it's everything.
It is very exciting.
What else have we got a message?
Hey, Tex, the Fitzroy Bear Den is up for a great show. Laugh out loud. Now, that was sent at 8:09, so hopefully the show's lived up to expectations there. Somebody in Chapel Mansions in St Kilda is listening. I believe that was Glenda.
And Glenda's letting us know how many people are members of the QAFXXK Facebook fan site. And, of course, this is for
Queer as Fuck.
And there's a brand new episode which has just gone online, which is episode 3. So you can see the trailer, episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, and in a fortnight from tonight, you'll be able to see episode 4. Okay. So go on there and become a fan. There are already 900 fans, Glenda's telling us.
Which is quite a few. And a message from the lovely Kylie.
Oh, Kylie in Bangkok.
Hi, Kylie. Placebo is awesome. Kylie, it was for you. She couldn't go. Now, for those who don't know, Kylie's living in Bangkok. Kylie used to be one of the presenters here on Well, Well, Well. And she had to go home early because there's a few issues, bit of strife in Bangkok tonight. So she's listening from home. Hello, Kylie. And other random messages. Hey, Jill and Tex, it's your fan, Richo from London. You guys are my favourite show on Joy and make the hour go really fast. Loving the songs. Keep up the
good work.
Good work. Hello, Richo.
Yeah, great to know there's someone in London listening, as I'm sure there are lots of people listening all over the place. Now, Jill, we've got just a couple of minutes to do a couple of messages, and I think this is a really important one because it's happening this Saturday, and it's the next same-sex marriage activists Equal Love Rally. Well, it's the rally put on by Equal Love, and it's in the support of same-sex marriage. It's happening on Saturday, the 15th of May, starting at 1 o'clock at the State Library, and that's at the top of Swanson Street. And if you don't know where it is, if you come in on the underground and come up through Melbourne Central, you're virtually in the library once you get out onto the street, of course. And the rally's part of a year-long protest, so there have been regular rallies, and we do encourage as many people as possible who want to show their support for same-sex marriage to get out into the streets and make a noise. But if you can't make it to the rally, but you want to sign the online petition, you can go to their website, which is quite simply equallove.info. So one word, equallove.info.
Exactly. Lots of support. And they're having a kiss-in, and Sir Ian...
Sir Ian McClellan.
He's having a bit of a chat as well to other people.
Oh, and he's out. He's here for Waiting for Godot, isn't he?
He is indeed, yeah. Tex. So no matter what your sexual orientation, I think that needs to be stressed as well. Go along, support your brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and friends and work colleagues and anyone else who's going to be there and believes that people, no matter what your sexual orientation, should have the right to get married.
What's this week?
This week is, it's a very important week, it's National Volunteers Week.
Hurrah for volunteers.
And for those listening, they would know that Joy 94.9 is hugely volunteer-based, as is the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. We would not do as well as what we do without the help of our huge team of volunteers.
In fact, Jill, I usually say that organisations would fall over without the volunteers behind them. So, you know, big rah for all volunteers.
Yeah, so if you know a volunteer, say thanks.
And look, if nothing more, think about calling Joy on 1300 Joy 949 and just saying thanks to the person who answers the phone, because 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, that person's going to be a volunteer, and it's always great to have someone saying thank you.
Absolutely. Makes you feel good. Yep. Coming up next, however, we have Glitter and Tonic.
With Steve. Indeed. And Byron. And tonight, they're going to be talking about International Family Day, which is also happening on Saturday. They're going to be talking about the gay marriage rally, and they'll have Scene Queen Jack and all your regular news and gossip. And then following that, at 10 o'clock, is Hide and Seek with Dean and James. They're so about sex. What did you call it once? Down and Dirty.
Get Down and Dirty.
That's right.
Get Down and Dirty.
Have you got any quick hellos?
I'll say hello to Richo in London.
Okay. I want to say a quick hello to my partner, Harry, to John, Deb, to George, who made my denture. And I'd like to say hello and a big thank you to Shane, who is our podcaster for the show. So sometime, probably by the end of next week, the last 5 weeks of shows will be all podcast and available via joy.org.au. You're going off, Jill. Have a great time.
I am. Thanks, Tex.
Remember me. I love red ribbons. So collect a red ribbon or seven.
I'll search.
All right.
To see us out, however, is Street Spirit by Radiohead. Tex, you're in the hot seat.
Okay. Cheers, everyone. Keep your dial locked to Joy 94.9. Bye, everyone.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.